This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Daniel Jones here with Cameron Teague Robinson. And, well, we're kind of in that stage where we're straddling spring sports and winter sports. One winter sport is over. Men's basketball team, their season finished up last week in Nashville. You all right, Cam?
You're like, we got stuck. A problem here, man. This chair has never really leaned back before, and now it leans back, so I kind of want to
You're like stuck over there.
I like want to be lazy and lean back, but I can't get close enough to the microphone.
You were like wedged between the chair and the table away from the microphone.
But yeah, the men's basketball season is over.
Are you sad? Are you mourning?
No, not really. It's okay. At this point of the year, it's just that March is such a grind. The end of February and March is such a grind that it's hard to... by the time the season's over, you just breathe. You're like, thank goodness. And then you can get some other stuff done. So, no, I'm not too sad. They played better in the SEC tournament than I thought they would. No, I don't think really anybody's that sad that the season's over.
Yeah. All good and not good and kind of mediocre, slightly disappointing things come to an end.
All things got to come to an end.
So for the men, yeah, I think you're right. The way the season finished up was kind of on a positive note. They hung with Auburn a lot longer than I think anybody expected them to in the SEC tournament. Got a SEC tournament win, beat Georgia after losing to Georgia in the first game last year. So those are all positive developments. We've talked a lot about the men's team and kind of where they look, what they have to look forward to next year. So we can have that conversation on a different day. I think right now the story of the week is the Mizzou women's team, which is a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament. Their first game will be against Drake on Friday evening. Actually, do we know what time the game is going to be yet?
3 p.m.
So Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. in Iowa City, Iowa. If they win their first game, they'll play the winner of Iowa and Mercer. Iowa's a 2 seed. And then if they win that, the regional is in Greensboro, North Carolina. But I feel like we should talk about, Cam, yesterday became a big deal. That bracket actually got leaked out a couple hours ahead of the selection show. Ended up being totally accurate. Just somebody at ESPN put up, I think what I read was they were actually discussing the men's bracket. The people on TV were analyzing the men's bracket, and somebody accidentally put the women's bracket up instead. And so the whole women's bracket was like accidentally put on ESPNU before anybody knew what was going on. When's the last time, or what mess up can you think of that would have caused that kind of panic? Is there any time where you've had something go horribly, horribly wrong and your stomach has sank as a result of that? I'm really putting you on the spot here, asking you to divulge
trying to think of something.
Work mistakes. I can think of one that wasn't so bad, and I'm going to think of it for you, so you think of one for me. It's kind of a funny one. I remember back a couple years ago when you were the prep reporter. This is going to seem really bad that I'm throwing out your dirty laundry, I asked you to throw out my dirty laundry after this. One of my favorite mess ups was when Mason Hunter became Hunter Mason.
Oh yeah, and his mom emailed me and goes, his name, and I still don't know his correct name. It's Mason Hunter. He goes, his name is Mason Hunter, not Hunter Mason.
And I remember, it was a print headline. Yeah, with the names
I was
flipped
like,
around.
Listen, it's two first names. It's not my fault. I mean, it is kind of my fault, but
he was a great pitcher for Battle High School.
Yeah, he was the All-State kid. Great kid. I actually had a. And like met with him over the summer that year. I was like, man, listen, I apologize, but like, that's not really my fault. You knew this was a potential when you gave him two first names. That's not my fault.
That is a risky run when you do that.
I don't know. I can't really think of it. I see, for me, when the errors happen, I just like try to forget about them so quickly.
True.
That I don't really think of them. I can't think of any for you.
I've done a good job of burying all my errors.
Well, there's times on Twitter where you tweet something, you'll be like, shoot, that was wrong. And then you'll delete it. But you'll like tweet, your next tweet would be like, I deleted the previously inaccurate tweet. That's the only thing I can think of, because I saw that like a few days ago.
I do that pretty often, actually. Yeah. There's always such a rush to get everything onto Twitter, and then there'll be like one slight typo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely do that a lot. One time, a couple years ago, I was looking at the bracket or looking at something to do with mid-majors, and I tweeted out this list of mid-majors and their records, and I included Creighton on that list. Ooh. And I got a bunch of angry tweets from people from Creighton, like, we're not a mid-major, we're in the Big East now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so certainly not something that would get national attention.
I get times mixed up, because so when the women's bracket came out and they released the times, it was 4 p.m. on the story. I originally put the story up at 4 p.m. because it was 4 p.m. Eastern time, not Central time. And that always messes me up. Always messes me up. It messes me up so much that I don't even care anymore. It's just like, if you want to yell at me, okay, that's fine. I get it.
A story that actually is kind of topical. Ronnie Suggs this week left his jersey at home.
Yeah.
I have done that. Yeah. I have done that exact thing.
It was funny because it was in the locker room. Dave Matter asked somebody this, I think he asked a spokesperson, like, hey, why is Ronnie wearing another jersey? And Ronnie was sitting there. Dave was telling me the story. And Ronnie was sitting there, and he just goes, no comment. Yeah, he ended up leaving his jersey.
When I was in high school, we had a home game, and we had to, you know, after school, you go home, like, get all your stuff together, and then come back. And
got to go home before the games?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So during that time, like, we used to have to come back, and the JV would play before the varsity. Mm-hmm. And so I showed up for the JV game, and, you know, I'm wearing like my warm up, like everything's supposed to be in my bag, and the game ends and we're like changing into uniforms, and I'm like looking through my bag, and there's no white jersey. There was like the away jersey and like all these other shirts in there. And it's like the most humbling moment ever. Like, you walk up to the coach and you're like, coach, I forgot my jersey.
That'd be the most terrifying thing in the world.
I believe he called me a moron. Yeah. I believe there were some other things that came up. I was really fortunate because my friend's mom, who lived right next to my house, was able to go in to my house. I knew where it was at, and grab the jersey and get it there before the game started.
One time, my senior year of high school, I forgot my literally everything before practice at home. And I was begging my eighth period teacher. I was like, I need to go home now. I have to leave. She goes, you can't leave class.
My coach will kill me.
Yeah. I was like, I literally won't be at school tomorrow. And I just left to go to the bathroom and just didn't come back and got sped. I luckily lived like 4 minutes from my high school. I sped home, got my stuff, and came back and made it. I was on the field before anybody else got on the field. So I was pretty lucky, but yeah. Yeah. So yeah, those have happened, but I've never accidentally leaked a bracket where
the whole
country is just like, what in the world is going on?
What do you think? Do you think that person's going to get fired or not?
They're gone.
You think they're fired?
They got fired the day right after.
I don't know, man. It's hard for me to. I would like to think
it's a contract breach. Like, there's a lot of contractual stuff that goes into the
selection show. That's true. They pretty much ruined the entire selection
show. Yeah, no one watched
it. And all the advertisements and all the watch parties.
Like, schools are probably making money off that stuff.
I didn't understand was why. I mean, I guess I understood, but the initial selection show was supposed to be at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
There's times.
See, times.
Times are tough.
Yeah.
6 o'clock p.m., and they moved it to 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And every selection show party around the country got canceled.
If it's leaked, okay. Well, we'll let you know if it's real or not when we have the selection show.
True. Yeah.
I mean, because all the coaches, Robin told us this in the media, and in their media availability, is that all the coaches, if it's leaked, have someone they can go to. She just reached out to SEC offices, and they're like, yes, it's real. So it's not like the teams don't know. And then the coaches go tell the players. Like, okay, it's leaked. All from the media side, we just write a story like it's true, and then when it actually becomes true, just press publish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they had to push everything up and make everything like this crazy deal. But
yeah, it kind of became a dramatic.
Yeah,
you might say, poop show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because our podcast, we have to be
G-rated.
That's right.
Yeah, no one's ever cussed on this podcast.
Not that we've heard. I've heard it, but
I haven't.
Nobody else has heard it. So Missouri will play Drake. I mean, hey, what's your scouting report for Drake in the tournament first round for Mizzou?
They're from Iowa. Robin said the other day, because she her, the coach at Drake is from the same coaching tree as Robin. So Lisa Bluter coaches at Iowa. She, both the Drake coach and Robin coach under the Iowa coach, different times, but both coach under her. Robin played for at St. Ambrose. So she was like, they play zone 80% of the time. And that's about all I got, to be honest with you. I didn't really go through the interviews a lot. I just got picked the stuff out I needed. But I know they play zone a ton. And then after that, they play man like probably 10 or 50% of the time. And they have a girl that, Grace Berg's on the team, although she's not playing. And then they have a kid girl from Fatima. But other than that, that's all I got.
Wow, Grace Berg. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what?
Not playing.
I know. But. And it's going to be kind of awkward.
Yeah. So somebody asked Sierra Porter about it, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was like, we're not worried about Grace Berg, or we're not thinking about Grace Berg, or we closed the door on that situation. I don't know, but it was like short and sweet and to the point. I was like, oh.
Yep. Well, okay. We moved on.
Yeah.
So that'll be, in zone. So if we know that they're a zone team, Missouri is a team that likes to shoot a lot of three-pointers. Right.
If the threes hit, they're good. I mean, they should be in good shape. If they don't.
Yeah, it's usually live by the three, die by the three anyway. That'll probably especially be true in the first round. I think I'll be interested to see what Drake does offensively, because in last year's NCAA tournament, Missouri played a team that loved to shoot the three, and they used that like as bait. Yeah. Missouri played all the way out to the perimeter, and then Florida Gulf Coast just drove and beat Missouri one-on-one off the dribble all day and got to the rim, and they scored a whole bunch of points in the paint and ended up scoring the upset. So that'll be a really entertaining bracket, I think.
And Drake is pretty much a home team.
Yeah, they're from Des Moines.
Yeah,
so playing in Iowa City is going to be really easy to get to. Sure. It'll also be really easy for Mizzou to get to, I would think, considering kind of some of the other options that were out there.
Yeah.
But Iowa's a really good team.
Yeah, they have that Gustafsson girl who
Gustafsson?
Gustafsson is unbelievable. I mean, she's a stud. She's like, I mean, she dropped, I think, 45 in the Big Ten title game to help them win the championship there. She's really good. So that'd be interesting. I wonder if that'd be, I know you're kind of looking far ahead, but I wonder if Missouri can almost scout her as you would Sophie, because they're similar in the sense of that, like, their teams are run by one person. So do you almost play Iowa the same way teams play you? And does Iowa do the same thing? So that'd be interesting. And again, storyline there, Robin's playing her former coach.
Right.
So that'd be some pretty cool storylines in Iowa City this week.
And I think if you're in Missouri, obviously Iowa's a really good team, but of all the two seeds in the tournament, your other options are UConn, Stanford, and Oregon.
Yeah.
You would think that of those, Iowa's probably the one you can match up with the best.
Yeah.
Even the three seeds, Syracuse in Missouri's bracket, there's NC State, but there's some other really good three seeds out there. I think Missouri matching up with Iowa might actually kind of be to their benefit.
Yeah.
It's not as good as getting... There was a thought that Missouri might end up being a five seed.
Yeah.
Instead, they're the seven. So you got to play a tougher opponent in the first round. And then, again, you get the tougher opponent in the second round. But as far as two seeds go, I think Missouri probably got the two seed that might be the most vulnerable in the bracket. Elsewhere in the SEC, Kentucky, who Missouri beat in the SEC tournament, but lost to during the regular season. Kentucky is the sixth seed in Missouri's bracket, so they would meet up if they both made it to the Sweet 16. Texas A&M, who Missouri beat during the regular season, they are a four seed on the other side of the bracket. Mississippi State is a one seed. If Missouri were to make it that far, they would play them in the Final Four. I'm trying to find Tennessee snuck in by the skin of their teeth. They were one of the final four to make the bracket. They're an 11 seed.
South Carolina's a four in Greensboro as well, in the Greensboro region as well.
So there you go. That would be another potential. That would be a potential Elite Eight matchup for Missouri, would be meeting South Carolina. So again, it's a pretty competitive SEC.
Auburn's in there too, sorry, as a 10 seed in the Chicago region.
Okay.
I'm just kind of like going through everybody.
Right. So you got a lot of SEC teams that were able to make the bracket. Arkansas did not make it. They ended up making the SEC championship game after upsetting South Carolina, but they did not make it into the bracket. They had a losing record in the SEC during the regular season. So that was probably one of the things that held them back. But Sophie Cunningham going into the SEC or the NCAA tournament, already the all-time leading scorer in Missouri history. of all the things she's done at Missouri, pretty much only thing that's left on her checklist is perform at the NCAA tournament and lead Missouri on a run. They have won NCAA tournament games with Sophie Cunningham, but have never made it past the second round. Yeah. So
they haven't been a Sweet 16 in 17, 18 years?
Yeah, which was kind of surprising. They made it in 2001.
Yeah, as a 10 seed.
Those the years, in my mind, and not that I'm a Missouri women's basketball historian, but in my mind, like those years before Robin Pinchton got here seemed like kind of the dark years of Mizzou women's basketball. Yeah. They were in the SEC, which is really good. And then, you know, the Big 12 actually had a really good, just kind of top to bottom competitive conference in women's basketball for a long time. So Missouri's last trip to the Sweet 16 was 2001, you said?
Yeah, and they've only been there twice and they lost twice. I'd never been to the Elite Eight.
So there's
I mean, listen.
A goal to strive for.
Mizzou's most likely, they're not predicted to make the Sweet 16 of the Elite Eight just by seeding. It would be a very big surprise if they make the Elite Eight. I think you mentioned Iowa is probably the weakest of the two seeds. It's reasonable to think that if things went right, they can make the Sweet 16 potentially. I say that all to say, if Sophie gets this team to the Elite Eight, there's no doubt, no argument, she's the best player in program history.
Yeah, well.
There's no doubt of it. I feel like now, you can be like, there's no argument about it, but I think, just in terms of like, because I don't know all the history of every single Missouri women's basketball player, so I say arguably in stories. But there's like, if they get to Elite Eight, it's over. There's no contest.
Yeah, I don't think you can make a legitimate argument that there's any player. I don't think right now you can make a legitimate argument there's any player that had an impact on the women's basketball program the way Sophie did. I think if she were to lead them further than any team has ever gone, then not only is she, I mean, she would be the most impactful player in terms of points scored, in terms of like goodwill generated about the team and like fans interaction, and taking them farther than they've ever gone in the NCAA tournament. That would be like the trifecta.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just enough that you would be the number one player in program history. Like, you have done all those things.
Legitimately solidify herself as one of the top three female athletes in the school's history.
Right.
You're looking at Natasha Brown, who's an Olympian, Carissa, and Sophie, and rank them however you want.
Right. Yeah. She's definitely one of the most impactful female athletes that have ever come through, but maybe still has a little bit of work to do in the next week or so. We'll have a group up there in Iowa City to cover that. Last year we had to split, but this year, since the men did not make it, Cam will be there along with our photographer Hunter Dyke for the first round game on Friday. It's on ESPN2, so make sure you check that out. And then Cam, even though the men aren't in it, the men's bracket came out. The Mizzou men aren't in it, I should say. The men's bracket came out on Sunday. We were talking a little bit just about the bracket. You and I had the same championship game picked out.
There's a lot of people who had the same championship game. Yeah, but we also had the same champion.
We also had the same champion, Marquette, obviously.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, mine was North Dakota State.
Oh, that's right.
I expect them to beat Duke and be the second 16 to be a one seed.
We both picked Duke to beat Kentucky in the championship game.
I would just like to say that I am proud that you put Kentucky in the championship game, considering all the conversations we have.
Oh, well, I was right.
SEC. They didn't win the championship.
They won the three-game series with Kentucky this year.
They didn't win the championship, so you picked them to win the tournament.
You picked Kentucky to win the tournament.
We were both wrong.
We were both wrong, but different degrees of wrong. I picked Tennessee. They made it to the championship game.
But we were both wrong. I've said on this podcast many times, I'm okay with being wrong as long as you are wrong as well. So, I just think it's funny.
I'm glad we're not petty on the podcast.
Never been petty ever in my life.
The picks at the beginning of the season, in case you're not familiar, I picked Tennessee to win the SEC and Cam picked Kentucky to win the SEC. We were both wrong because LSU won the SEC.
But Auburn won the tournament.
But in a few weeks or a few months, I'm confident that we'll both be actually vindicated as correct because LSU will be forced to give up their SEC title. And so Tennessee, we might both end up being correct.
Yeah, exactly. True.
In the tournament, Cam stuck with Kentucky and I stuck with Tennessee, and Tennessee beat Kentucky in the semifinals and went to the championship.
Yeah. So you don't get a medal for second place.
I do get a medal. Second place. It's silver and yours is, you don't get a medal for fourth place.
There's no medals in the SEC tournament. One team gets a trophy and the other one goes home.
One team gets to play in the championship and the other team doesn't get
one to play gets in the to lose by 20 in the championship.
Hey, at least they were there. Kentucky was on a plane home.
We were both wrong.
Different degrees of wrong. You were more wrong than I was.
We were both wrong. That's how I see it.
Okay.
But yeah, so we both have Duke and Kentucky in our championship. Our Final Four is slightly different. I had Duke, Texas Tech. I'm looking at a blank bracket, so I'm trying to remember what mine was. I have Duke, Texas Tech.
You picked Texas Tech too?
Yes.
Oh.
Did you pick Texas Tech too?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, we have three of the same four. I have Duke, Texas Tech, Purdue, Kentucky. And I have Duke, Kentucky in the Final Four.
I had Duke, Texas Tech, Kentucky, and Virginia. Those are mine. My biggest upset in the first round was Oregon over Wisconsin. And then I also had Oregon beating Kansas State to go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
How about yourself?
I had St. Mary's beating Villanova. I also had Seton Hall beating Wofford. But I think my biggest upset was that I had Florida in the Sweet 16, losing to Texas Tech. I believe that's how that works out. Yes. Yeah. I'm all big on the Gators.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost picked Yale over LSU. I almost picked that. I didn't, but I almost did.
It seemed more spiteful than anything.
I just don't think they're playing well. I think they got a lot of stuff going on. This is why I picked Florida over LSU in the tournament. I was right there too. Just saying.
Fortunately, your facial expression won't be recorded on the podcast because it is extremely smug and kind of annoying.
I've never been smug. Humble. What's the saying? Humble over hype.
You don't even know what the saying is.
I just said it.
What's the saying that people say when they're trying to be humble?
I just said it.
Okay. Well, take all those things that we just said and ignore them when you're filling out your own bracket.
Yeah, don't listen to us.
Because we know nothing about anything.
Also, really, nobody really knows. Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, you know, every year I would fill out a bracket thinking, man.
Yeah, same.
What if this is the one that's perfect?
This is why I told you I'm not doing that this year. I filled out one just for fun.
It's the stupidest thing to think about while filling out a bracket.
Yep.
So this year, whenever I came to a matchup that I was like less than 75% sure on, I just flipped a coin.
Yeah.
So that's a way to go, you know? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Mizzou Wrestling, which will be in the NCAA Championships this week, and we'll give a quick update on the softball and baseball programs, which started SEC play just a week ago. I'd like to take a moment to thank the sponsors of the Mizzou Sports Podcast, MU Healthcare, Columbia Water and Light, and Phyllis Nichols of State Farm. The University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to be the official sponsor of Mizzou Athletics. Columbia Water and Light encourages the efficient use of electricity and water because it can make a big difference for all of us. Find out more at ColumbiaPowerPartners.com. And contact State Farm agent Phyllis Nichols at 573-443-8727 for life, home, car insurance, and more. Thanks again to our sponsors, and now we'll return you to the podcast. All right, we're back on the Mizzou Sports Podcast, and the women's basketball tournament will be a big deal, obviously, this weekend, and then elsewhere in the USA, in Pittsburgh, the Mizzou wrestling team. I was going to say the men's wrestling team. That would have been slightly redundant at the college ranks. The Mizzou wrestling team will be performing in Pittsburgh. They have 9 wrestlers competing in the NCAA championships out of a possible 10 weights. So it's another, you know, pretty excellent season for the wrestling program. And I think the story of the wrestling team is at the beginning of the year, they were already missing 2 guys that were national qualifiers in Barlow McGee and Joey Lavallee. They left. They were seniors last year. Then they had Willie Miklas that transferred. He was a national title contender, still is a national title contender, transferred to Iowa State for personal reasons. And then at the beginning of the season, Grant Leith, lightweight, he was in the, I think he was 141 weight class, ended up getting hurt and is out for the season. So they really had to replace 4 weight classes. Missouri still had 9 guys qualify out of a possible 10. So in those, 3 of those replacements all qualified for the national tournament. So pretty impressive job by the wrestling team. They're not a real contender to win a national championship, not like they were a couple years ago when they sent 10 and had, you know, legitimate title contenders in four or five weight classes. But Daniel Lewis is a genuine national title contender. He's the number two seed. Brock Mahler, who a year ago was wrestling for Tolton, is the number four seed in his weight class, which I believe is 149.
Yes, correct.
It is 149.
Yep.
So, and then Jaden Ironman is
Tolton grad.
Another Tolton grad. He's a number five seed. So you got three guys for Missouri that are legitimate. I would say, you know, if they went on a run, you know, could be national champions. But Daniel Lewis is certainly the top contender. He's a three-time All-American, and this might be the year that he finally breaks through. His best national finish was fourth, which he's done twice. So, anyway, update on Mizzou Wrestling. Keep an eye on them throughout the week. We'll have stories on them. There's a story up about kind of previewing the national championship that ran in the Tribune today.
Yeah, you can read about mac and cheese and cold cereal.
That's right, mac and cheese and cold cereal. Brian Smith kind of went, he used a metaphor to illustrate what it was like to build a team. He compared it to cooking, you know, building a big meal as a chef. And then we kind of pressed him on his cooking credentials, and he said, oh, I'm no chef. I just cook mac and cheese and cold cereal. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, that doesn't make the metaphor any less true, I suppose.
True, true.
So the wrestling program will have a big weekend. The softball program actually had a nice weekend just recently. I mean, they're getting off a nice weekend. They hosted number 8 Georgia and won the series. Dropped the Friday game 1-0, but bounced back. Won 7-3 on Saturday and 8-7 on Sunday. Cam, you were at the game on Sunday when they were able to pull out the 8-7 victory. That's pretty impressive to come back and end up beating a top 10 opponent to win the series. Was it as dominant a score as 8-7? That doesn't seem like dominant,
no.
But it was a big win.
Yeah, they were in that game. Really, I mean, both teams really. I think they scored. I think there was. I'm trying to do math quickly. It's not working well. 13 runs scored in the first four innings.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, then they went like the next 2.5 innings silent. And then Mizzou really put together a pretty good seventh inning. They put together a few hits, got some walks. And then a freshman, Emma Robbie, hit a really hard hit ball to the shortstop, just bounced off her glove, and the game was over. Really, if she even got that ball cleanly, the game was probably over anyway. But, yeah, it was a really good game. And I think the biggest thing, and this is what I'm going to write about in my story for tomorrow's paper, is just, I mean, the culture of that team, it just seems so different. I mean, it's easy to say that after they win a game, but like they just seem, and I was talking about this to somebody after the game, so I was curious to ask them today about it, is that they are just so confident. They're, and it's a group of young girls, like their whole infield's underclassmen. I mean, in their starting lineup, they had one upperclassman. They are really young, new coach. It just seems like they are just a completely different team than the one last year, completely different feel and vibe to them. They are really confident, and they feel like they can. They feel like series like that against Georgia are things that they should be, that should be expected, not surprised. Not people should be, people shouldn't be surprised by them.
Right, right. And they're probably still work to do to make that a consistent thing.
Right, right.
But like you said, they had three freshmen on the infield for Friday's game, and then when Emma Robbie actually, she subbed in at first base when she was playing first base, they had four first-year players in the infield.
And it's almost like, I said something to somebody afterwards, it's almost, and I always had a term for this because I felt like I had this when I was young and doing journalism. I'm still young, but like in my first like few years of it, it's almost like a delusional confidence. Not delusional in a bad way, but just like you go in so confident that you could beat anyone, and you actually feel that. And that's a good thing for this program that has been down for so many years. It's that because they don't know about the bad history. They don't know about the last 3 years, the early one stuff, everything going on. All they know is softball, and all they know is that they just took a series from a top 10 team. And I think that's good for the culture going forward, whether they continue the success or not. But I think it's good going forward for the team.
It was not that far away from being a sweep. I was at the game on Friday, and Georgia allowed two hits. Missouri had the bases loaded in the first inning and was unable to get any runs. They had two on and nobody out. And they didn't get any runs across, and it ended up becoming a pitcher's duel after that. Missouri only had two other base runners the entire game, and then Georgia in the fifth inning scored on an error. They had a girl at second base that came around to score on an error, and that was the difference in the game. The final score was 1-0. So that could have easily been a sweep had Missouri scored a run in the first inning and not committed the error that resulted in the run. But, you know, like you said, I mean, that's important. The SEC is tough. I mean, it's not just football. The SEC is the best conference in the country in a lot of different sports. I think softball is right there. They're just the top-to-bottom talent in softball across the SEC. There was, if you kind of looked at the entire schedule, you would have been hard pressed to see a lot of series where Missouri would have been the favorite. Where you could have said, "Wow, yeah, Missouri should win a series here or there." So to do it in the second try kind of sets you up well. I think, like you said, it's important for that confidence that they got it early.
Yeah,
and it could have been a sweep. So we got a lot of first year players out there, a lot of impact freshmen, and as well, I think you have a lot of a couple players that have transferred in and had an immediate impact. Maddie Norman's been a pretty good pitcher all season. She had a great day Friday, even though she lost. I know her ERA on the season 2.13. She's 6-5, but overall has pitched pretty well. She struck out 51 and only walked 19. So the baseball team had a less good weekend. Less good. What's that? Worse?
English.
More bad. They went to Arkansas and got swept 2-0, 4-3, and 3-2. So kind of another series that was dictated by fine margins. They'll host Murray State today, Wednesday, and tomorrow. Today, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday. And then they'll host number 20, Old Miss, this weekend for the home open, I guess the SEC first home SEC series of the season. It's not their home opener. They've already had a home game, and it's not their SEC opener. So it's just their first conference series at Taylor Stadium this season. They are now 11-8 on the season. They haven't lost a home game yet, but they are 0-3 in the conference. So that kind of wraps up a little update on Mizzou Olympic sports. I believe the gymnastics team is at SEC championships this weekend, too. They've been pretty good this year. I know they've been ranked for most of the year, so that's something to keep an eye on as the winter sports season wraps up and we start to move into spring. But we got some spring weather, which feels kind of nice. So, yeah, NCAA tournament's going on. Be a lot to keep an eye on for college sports the rest of the week.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time. It's always a good time. So, I guess, how do I do this thing again? Follow us on Twitter. Danny is at Daniel_M_Jones. I'm at CJ_Teague. Subscribe to the Tribune. You can read all our work online at ColumbiaTribune.com. This is the part I usually start with. I'm usually pretty bad at this sometimes. But you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, I believe. Subscribe and rate as well. With that said, Danny, cue the outro music.
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.